Good morning, everyone. I welcome you in this morning prayer, and it's very good to see many familiar faces again. So I welcome you. My name is Luke, and I'm the community member here. I want to start my devotion by asking one question. What is worship? It's a very normal word, right? Worship. We go to the church, we go to the conferences, we go to different institutions all around the world, and Christian all around the world, they go to different places to worship our Lord. But what is the meaning of worship? Why do we worship God? So we will be looking from John chapter 4, about when Jesus was talking to Samaritan women, and we'll see what Jesus is trying to teach Samaritan women about worship. And the word worship itself explains the meaning, right? Worthship, understanding the worth of something, and then you start to give value to the thing or to the person or to God. So that is worship. And in this passage, when Jesus was talking to Samaritan women, Jesus said, "Could you give me the water?" And then she was kind of a rude, right? "You are a Jew asking me the water?" She is not understanding the value of Jesus at that time. And then the conversation kept on going. And Jesus said, "If you would have asked me, I would have given you the living water." And then she brings Jacob, because for the Jewish people, for the people at that time, even for the Samaritan, Moses, Jacob, and all the forefathers from the Old Testament, they were the people, those who had value, some worth, very important people. And she said, "Are you greater than our forefather Jacob?" She's not understanding who Jesus was at that time. And then the conversation kept on going. And then Jesus said, the man that you are living with right now, he is not your husband. And then she was, maybe he is a prophet. So she said, "You are the prophet I know." And then the conversation kept on going. And she said that our forefather worship in this place, and they taught us this. And then Jesus talked about the time will come when the true worshiper will worship the Lord with spirit and truth. And then she says, "I know about Messiah, the Christ. He will come and teach us everything." And Jesus said, "I am the one." And I sometimes wonder if I would be sitting there like a little frog and listening to their conversation, and the expression on Samaritan women's be, "You are Christ that we were looking forward to, that one day a Messiah would come. He will deliver us from our sin, from our bondage. You are the one." And she would be like, and that's why she went to the village and started preaching about Jesus Christ. So she understood the value, the weightiness of Jesus Christ, that who Jesus Christ was, and she started to give the value Jesus deserved. Before that, she did not even bother, but now she understood the value. In Isaiah, if we read chapter 6, we know the vision of Isaiah. So Isaiah was a prophet, very important man, according to the Jewish people at that time. Prophets were giving much importance. But that person, when he saw the Lord in the vision, what he saw, that the angels, they were flying with two wings and they were covering themselves with two, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole world is full of his glory." And Isaiah saw even the angels, those who are not sinner like you and me and the human, even they were calling God, "Holy, holy, holy," and they could not stand in front of the holiness of God. And the whole earth was full of his glory. When Isaiah saw that, he started to realize how sinful he was, and he started to worship the Lord. He did not see Lord God in the way that he saw in the vision. And when he understood the greatness of God, that he's the one who created the whole world, that he's the one who is greater than our forefather, that he's the one who is greater than everyone in this world, he understand the value. Samaritan women understand the value, and they started to worship the Lord. My uncle, one time he gave me one beautiful bag. A very good bag. So I was happy, all right, it's just a bag. So I started to take it, you know, on train, in the buses. And it was just a bag. And if you have been to India, you know how it feels like to travel in the trains in India. Somebody's kicking your bag and kicking you also sometimes. So it's a difficult thing. But I did not bother. I used to take it to the village for the ministry. It was just a bag. One day, one of my friends came to my house, and we were talking, and he saw that bag. And then he looked at my face. He said, "How can a person like you can have a bag like that?" Because he know I'm a cheap person, I cannot buy expensive thing. So he said, "How can you have this kind of bag?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Do you know the value of this bag, the real cost of this bag?" And then I was curious. I said, "No." He said, "The real cost of this bag may be about 300 to 400 pounds. I was like, "What? I have been taking this bag, which is about 400 pounds worth or 300 pounds, and I'm using it normally. I don't know the value of this bag." And you know what I did? The same day I went to the shop, I brought the polish, I brought the brush, and I brought a very good plastic bag just to cover it. And since from that time, I started to use it only in a very sophisticated places like airport, where, you know, it doesn't get dirty. And from that time, my perspective towards that bag was changed. My value towards that bag was changed. It's the same thing that we see when Samaritan women, she did not understand who Jesus was. She did not bother. But when she came to know who Jesus was, she started to give the value. And that is worship. Understanding the value, the worth of something, and understanding the worth and importance of God in our life, that is giving the worship to the Lord. In the community, we come as a guest. We pay for it. We also do a lot of sacrifices. You know, we might have gone to some cruise ship or maybe to different places just for the vacation or spend our days in different ways or the money that we give here. But what we have decided, no, we will go to Scargill and we will spend time worshiping the Lord near to him because we know the value of Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has given his life and rose again from the third day. And because of him, we are joyful, we have peace, we have hope in our lives. And that's why we come to this place, because we understand the value. Because nothing in the whole world is more important than giving worship to our Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing with the community member. Being in the community can be difficult. We have house team, kitchen team, admin team, and chaplain, pastoral team, and we also have people, those who are sitting in the main office dealing with the advertisement, and state team. Different kind of job has its different challenges. And above all, it's also a voluntary work. But I'm not trying to praise the community people, no. But I'm saying, what should motivate us to serve people in the community, to serve the community, that we understand, all right, the money or the worldly things does not matter a lot in our life, but it is what we understand Jesus, that he is worthy of our praise, and that's why we do worship him by the act, by the job that God has given us. And that is our act of worship towards him, because we have understood him as our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is nobody like him. I think that should be the right motivation to even come to the morning prayers. Nobody forces to come to the morning prayers. I don't like to wake up early in the morning and go to the morning prayers. I rather sleep till 10. But why do I come? So that people would know that I am here. All right, let's see. Luke is a spiritual guy, and that's why he comes to the morning prayer. That should be the wrong motivation. The right motivation should be, we are coming in God's presence. The God who is King of Kings, he is better than all the princes in the world. He is better than all the most intelligent people in the world. He is the Lord who has created the universe. He is the Lord who has brought us out of the slavery of sin. And because of him, we have peace and relationship with God. That's why we will go and worship the Lord in the morning prayers. That should be the right motivation. So that is about what is worship. understanding the value, weightiness, the importance of Christ and God. The second, why worship? Some people, in the Bible, you know, God says, you worship me. But if somebody tells me, in my church or my pastor or any kind of leader tells me, you worship me, I will say, go away. Why do you want me to worship you? Why? So it's a kind of a negative feeling, right? Somebody asking us to worship them. But in this case, when God asks us to worship him, he does it because he understands that we need him. Because of him, because without him, we can feel lonely. Without him, we cannot live in this world peacefully. Without him, we cannot know him. And without knowing him, this world can be a really hopeless and lonely place. And above all, he wants us to worship him because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to be saved, and that comes out of love. Jesus does talk about the living water in this passage and what living water is. So when we drink water, water doesn't get benefit from us. We get benefit through the water when we drink it. We feel satisfied. Same thing with the Lord and the worship. When we worship the Lord, we feel satisfied. We feel blessed. And that's why, that is the why of worship. That should be the motivation. And the third thing I just wanted to talk about, where? Because Samaritan women also talks about, because in that time, in Old Testament, people used to give importance to the temples. Our forefather worshipped the Lord in the mountain. So it was very much external that you would go to some particular place, and if you worship the Lord there, if you sacrifice, then God will accept your worship. But Jesus said the time is coming when the true worshiper will worship the Lord with the spirit and truth. And Jesus is making it clear, it's not about the place, it's not about different churches, or it's not about, even though the churches are very important, because we read about the worshiping in the churches in the New Testament later on in letters when Paul talks about the church and importance of it. But Jesus is saying with spirit and truth, which means it's the matter of heart. It's not that I have a friend in India, he goes every year in south part of India, and there is a church, and he lights up the candle there, and then he thinks that if he lights up the candle only in a particular church, then his worship will be accepted to the Lord. Now, Jesus is saying it's the matter of heart, how you understand about him, how you really understand about his worth and value, and who is he in our life. So may God bless us through this scripture. We will spend some time in prayer. And especially this time, we will spend time understanding all the great things that we have seen about our Lord in our lives. It can be through healing. It could be through different blessing that God has given us. Just understand the value, the worth of Jesus Christ. Even though we know theologically, we know who God is, but I think God wants us to experience and really understand in our heart and mind his real value and worth, which can motivate us to live a life that he really wants us to live and worship him. Spend and remember all those times. We can also spend some time to pray for a person who is connected to us in any way that we really want that person to know about Jesus Christ. We really want that person to accept Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. We'll remember that particular person. God, we want to thank you again for sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, in this world, who saved us from our sin. Lord, when I look at my sinful nature, it clearly tells us that I cannot save myself. So it was really a gracious act of yours that you sent your Jesus Christ, who died and rose again on the third day. And because of him, we can now have the assurance of salvation, assurance that you are our Father and we are reconciled with you. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we understand, Lord, you are worthy. You are the God who brought Israelites out of Egypt. You are the God who said, Lazarus, come out, and he was risen. You are the God who provided food to the 5,000 when they did not have enough, Lord. You are amazing God. You have created this. You have built Scargill, Lord, and you have brought it back to life. You are amazing God. So you are worthy of our praise, Lord. Help us to worship you in the right way with our spirit and truth, Lord. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Breakfast will be served soon. Thank you.